Thank you very much, Jean-Marc. And as you see, my paper is entitled "What Does It Mean to Be Spiritual? What to Be Religious?" So it's related to the question Peter already addressed. But what I would like to do is to compare the proportions of self-identifications as religious or spiritual and correlates of religious or spiritual behavior and beliefs cross-nationally on the basis of a large-scale survey, which I'm going to introduce to you in a minute. But let me start with a brief introduction denoting the background of this research. It has been noted, of course, during the last 10 years that a growing number of persons do not claim to be religious anymore, but name themselves spiritual, either spiritual and not religious, to make clear that they distance from traditional religiosity, or at least more spiritual than religious. And this development has been described by sociologists of religion, for instance, as a spiritual revolution, as Paul Hillas and Linda Woodet have put it, or a spiritual turn, as the Dutch scholars Ortmann and Oppers have named it. However, whether this is really an eruption, a revolution, a turn in our history of religiosity and the importance of religiosity in our cultures depends a bit on the relation, I think, between the usage of these two terms. Spirituality as the modern one and religiosity or religion as the more traditional one. It has been noted, however, that in many studies, people, maybe I should say still, express their spirituality in continuity with their religiosity, which has been noted, for instance, at the end of the 90s by Brian Zinnbaum, Ken Pargament and their research group, and by other researchers too. So the question, I think, arises, really, what does it mean to be spiritual, as I have put it in the title of my paper. And I would like to analyze this question on the basis of the data of the Religion Monitor survey, which took place in 2008 and was founded by the German Bertelsmann Foundation. And I would like to introduce you now to the concept of the Religion Monitor and also to the countries where we have had our surveys within that study. And as you see, we try to cover the complete globe. We had representative samples of at least 1,000 persons from 21 countries. We had the United States, of course, then as representative of Middle America, Guatemala, which is abbreviated here GCA. We used the CAR abbreviations for indicating the countries here. Then Brazil as the biggest country from South America. Then, as you see, the study focused somewhat on European countries. And here we had the UK, we had France, Spain, the German-speaking countries, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Poland, and Italy. Then we had Morocco as the representative of Northern Africa, and Nigeria as representative of Sub-Saharan Africa. Turkey and Russia as two countries which are somehow a bridge building cultures between European and Asian continent. Then Israel as the only country in the world with a majority of a Jewish population. India as the only country with a majority of Hindus. As representative of Eastern Buddhism, Thailand. The Republic of Indonesia, abbreviated RI, as a representative of Southeastern Asian Islam, the Republic of South Korea, ROK, and last but not least, down under, Australia. So we really have data from all parts of the world and data from all major religious traditions in the world. And the concept of the Religion Monitor was a quite comprehensive one, using at least almost 100 questions and items asking for the diverse expressions of religious and spiritual life. And the concept of this questionnaire tries to integrate at least perspectives from three different areas of research. And I would like to show it to you on the basis of this table. First, from the perspective of sociology, sociology of religion in particular, comes the distinction between 5 to 6 core dimensions of religious life, how people can behave and experience and think in a religious or spiritual way. And we have here first the intellectual dimension, which is mainly the interest in issues related to religion and spirituality. Then the ideological dimension, which means the belief in a God or something divine, at least some kind of transcendence, one can say. Then the area, the dimension of public practice, which might be church service within Christianity, communal prayer within Islam, temple visits within Hinduism and Buddhism and so on, some kinds of shared collective spiritual rituals. We have a dimension of private practice, and here, as you can see, we distinguished between two ways of processing basic semantics of the divine. One way was to relate it to a personal correspondent, which is the practice of prayer, and the other way is to try to unite, to connect with well, the ultimate, a deeper self, the cosmos as a whole, the whole universe, which is related to practices of meditation. And we have the same distinction between a more theistic semantic on the one hand and a more pantheistic semantic on the other hand, on the dimension of religious and spiritual experiences, where we have the one-to-one experience, feeling the presence of God, for instance, as expression of a theistic religious experience, and the experience of being at one as the more pantheistic way of experiencing the spiritual dimension of life. And as an additional dimension, we have consequences, the general relevance of religion or spirituality, which we might set in brackets here, to everyday life. This is mainly taken from sociology of religion, from the phenomenology of religiosity, which has been described by Charles Glock and his followers. And we try to link this to a concept that comes from the psychology of religion, and that's the interest in the salience or the degree of motivation towards being religious or spiritual, which has been expressed first in the concept of religious orientation, intrinsic religious orientation, as described by Gordon Allport, but also relates to further concepts like salience, as described by Hoche and other colleagues. The way we named it, and in particular my co-author Stefan Huber, is really the inventor of that concept of centrality, which means the role that plays religion in the cognitive architecture and in the personality of a person. The more central religiosity is the simple assumption, the more it can affect all parts of other life. And the less central it is, the less probable it is that it will affect any other part and any other area of life. And here we had two measures. One is the centrality scale, which is an index of the first five core dimensions, intellect, ideology, public practice, private practice, and experience, to count them together to have an index of the general expression of religious and spiritual life of a person. And the other one is distinguishing between people naming themselves religious or people naming themselves spiritual. So we ask for religious and spiritual self-concepts additionally. And as you can see, this is a perspective which is already related to the right half of the table, where we have our third perspective, which is related mainly to the fields of theology and religious studies, which means these are the disciplines which are interested in the substantial contents, the specific subjects which are part of religious and spiritual orientations, belief systems, or as we put it here, schemas, attitudes, behavior styles, and so on. You can link at least almost every concept coming from empirical research on religion to some of these concepts. And what we tried here was to sort them heuristically to our core dimensions. For instance, we have religious reflexivity and religious quests as somehow ways to behave religiously with particular interests and particular directions, but they are related mainly to the intellectual dimension, so we put them up on the right side of this table, or as expressions, as specific expressions of the ideological dimensions, diverse God concepts or God images, or even alternative worldviews, also orientations like religious pluralism or religious, or as the opposite, religious fundamentalism. We have on the level of public practice, religious affiliation, practices, religious networks, and so on. on the base, on the level of private practice, for instance, obligatory prayers within Judaism and Islam, a family altar within the Eastern religious traditions, and so on, specific contents of prayer, according to the dimension of experiences, diverse qualities of religious feelings, fear of God, feeling loved by God, feeling forgiven by God, and so on. And on the dimension of consequences, we can distinguish the relevance of religiosity and spirituality in diverse areas of life. We distinguished 11 parts of life, among them partnership, work, sickness and health, which is then also related to the complete topic of our conference, and then as specific forms of self-concepts, the already mentioned religious and spiritual self-concept. And of course, I don't want to show all results we have with this broad stuff of items to you today, but rather a selection. What we've done was to use the question for religious and spiritual self-concept to build a typology of diverse combinations of a religious and spiritual self-concept. And what we've done then in a second step is to relate them to particular expressions of religious life, both on the level of core dimensions and on the level of specific subjects and contents of spiritual life, which we choose according to our hypothesis that these particular expressions might be linked in particular to religious and or spiritual self-concept. And these are, to name them, prayer, meditation, one-to-one experience and experience of being at one, the religious quests, diverse God concepts, and the religious affiliation. So I come to the findings now, and first would like to present you the concrete questions, the concrete items that have been used to assess religiosity and spirituality. And here, well, Father Peter, I have to confess my sins. We didn't define what we mentioned with these concepts.
Shame.
However, we were interested not so much in scientific concepts of these particular terms, but how people use them to describe themselves and then look, well, what relates to these self-descriptions. The questions have been, first, all in all, how religious would you consider yourself to be? And we had 5 rating stages: not at all, a little, medium, fairly, or very religious. And then the second question, putting aside whether or not you would describe yourself as a religious person, as how spiritual would you describe yourself? And again, we had the same 5 rating stages. And as I've already mentioned, then we tried to combine them and put them together in this table. Theoretically, we try to distinguish between 9 ideal types of combinations of the spiritual and religious self-concept. For instance, it is characteristic for type 1 that the expression both of the religious self-concept and of the spiritual concept are low. People who fall into this category have answered the question for the spiritual self-concept, not at all or a little, and have answered the question for the religious self-concept with not at all or a little. So they're really not very spiritual and not very religious, or at least even not religious and spiritual at all. And I think you can imagine the other combinations of expressions of spiritual and religious self-concepts. And now I would like to put some numbers into this table, and I show to you the results of the United States sample first, where we have the following proportions. What we see is that we have, on the one hand, if we focus on the spiritual self-concept first, a majority of United States citizens which express a quite high spiritual self-concept. This applies to more than half of the population of the United States. Data from 2008. And at least another third of the population still expresses a spiritual self-concept of a medium level, and only 16% express spiritual self-concepts on a low level. The picture for religiosity or religious self-concept is a bit less clear, because here we see that at least a quarter of Americans express only low religious self-concepts, but still a majority of almost 40% expresses a high religious self-concept. The next analytical step is that we can distinguish between ways of relating spiritual and religious self-concept, because we have, on the one hand, divergent ways to relate religious and spiritual self-concept. For instance, we have people who express a stronger spiritual than a religious self-concept, which is circled here with the yellow line across the boxes in the table. This applies in the United States for 25% of the population. And this is a much stronger tendency than it is for a stronger religious self-concept, which is also divergent. The religious self-concept is expressed stronger than the spiritual is, but this applies only for 9% of the United States sample. However, the interesting thing is to focus on it the other way around, and to look for the convergent ways of constructing the religious and spiritual self-concepts. And what we see here is that still two-thirds of the American sample express their religious and spiritual self-concept in continuity. Mm-hmm. Whether it may be not religious and spiritual at all, or very religious and very spiritual. So all in all, we have these two-thirds for the convergent way of constructing religious and spiritual self-concepts. And now we've compared these proportions for the other samples we had in our Religion Monitor survey. And these are the findings. The blue the blue boxes show the percentages of a convergent way of relating religious and spiritual self-concept, while the yellow boxes, the yellow bears, indicate the divergent ways of constructing religious and spiritual self-concept. And what we see is that, well, a majority of countries tend to have a higher percentage of a convergent way of relating religiosity and spirituality. This is very clear, for instance, in Nigeria and Guatemala, and it is less clear, for instance, for Thailand and Austria at the very end of this subsample of our samples. However, we have only three countries where we found a higher percentage of divergent ways of relating religiosity and spirituality. This is true first for Russia, where we might have to deal with the post-Soviet context, maybe. It applies also for Morocco, which is a quite critical finding, because we noticed that out of the 1,000 people from Morocco that have been asked with the questionnaire, more than 200 of them didn't answer the question for spirituality. So there might have been problems due to the translation, and it might even be that spirituality is a concept which is not one-to-one translatable into the Arab language. And that might be an explanation for this particular result. But interestingly, we have a quite clear finding for Israel, where much more people distinguish between describing themselves as spiritual rather than describing themselves as religious and spiritual in continuity. What we have to bear in mind is that our typology was based on the assumption that we count all those who express exactly the same level of religiosity and spirituality as convergent ways of relating both concepts. If we accept that there might be a difference of at least 1 degree between these ratings, the picture changes interestingly, because it looks then like that. What we see is here that in 20 out of these 21 countries, we have almost more than 80% of people who express their religious and spiritual self-concepts in continuity with each other and don't distinguish very strictly between both concepts. Maybe the only expression where the picture is not that clear is Israel at the very right of this graph, where you still can see a substantial percentage of people with a divergent way of relating religiosity and spirituality. It's really the only assumption. So I think it's plausible to think that it has to be related to the particular context of Israel and Jewish culture there. Now I want to go a step further and to distinguish not these 9 types anymore, but only those of them who express a quite clear profile. And this is true on the one hand for those who are highly religious and not spiritual at all, on the one hand. On the other hand, we have those who are highly spiritual but not religious at all. And I would like to contrast these two ideal types with those who express both high religiosity and spirituality and those who are neither religious nor spiritual at all, and relate these 4 types to the different expressions of religious and spiritual life I've named before. And again, to remind you of the variables, this is religious affiliation first, as a most basic expression of an affinity towards religion or spirituality. Then prayer, the experience of the presence of God, meditation, the experience of being at one, the God image as a person, the theistic way of thinking about God, and a more pantheistic, more alternative way of thinking of God, the God image as energy, and at least religious quest. And again, I start with the findings for the United States, where we first find that the group of the neither religious nor spiritual express all in all low levels, which is not very surprising, I guess. The only small difference is that they agree to some degree to the concept of God as some kind of energy, which might be a metaphoric way of talking about God. Then, if we compare them to the highly spiritual but not religious, we see that there are at least 2 big differences where the highly spiritual group expresses higher levels. And this is true first for meditation and still clearer for the experience of being at one. These are really the 2 differences between those who are highly spiritual and those who are neither nor. If we look for the highly religious but not spiritual group, it's completely the opposite. They express high levels of religious life. They are affiliated to a strong degree. They pray a lot. They experience the presence of God, but they do not meditate very much, and they do not experience being at one very often. But anything else is expressed on a higher level. Interestingly, the complete highest expressions on all dimensions have been detected for the highly spiritual and highly religious group. And this was some kind of surprising for us, because one could also assume that this group might be a mixture somewhere in between the highly religious and the highly spiritual group. But it seems that it's really a type of its own, because they really express the highest level on all dimensions that we've compared here. And the striking thing is now when we leave the United States and turn to European countries, that we will have very similar findings for the other countries too. This is the result for the UK, for instance. And again, we see if if we start again with the neither religious nor spiritual group, low levels all in all, the red line, we see higher expressions on meditation being at one, here also on the concept of energy for the highly spiritual group. We see high expressions for the highly religious, except for meditation and being at one. It's again the opposite to the highly spiritual group. And we see the highest expressions for the highly spiritual and highly religious group. And this is again true for Germany. Of course, there are some there's some variance in comparison to the findings before, but the general pattern, that's what I would like to focus on here. The general pattern looks strikingly the same. And it's true also for Austria and for Switzerland, where we have something which seems to be related to countries with Roman languages, where we have quite higher expressions of meditation. I'll show you the findings for the other Romanesque countries in a minute, and there you will find exactly the same pattern. This is true also for France, very clearly, where we have in general quite low expressions of the highly spiritual group, which strongly resembles the line, the red line of the neither nor group, except for meditation. There you have this high expression and regular practice of meditation for this group. But again, much higher expressions for the highly religious and highly spiritual group. And it's also the same for Spain, which looks a bit more accented. But again, we have this strong expression of meditation for the highly spiritual group. And it's also the same, although on higher levels in general, for Italy. Again, even the neither nor group here has some expressions, which is of course related to the fact that Italy in general has a highly religious population with respect to European context. And again, here we have the Roman strong expression of meditation. Again, the highly religious but not spiritual group contrasts this, and again we have the highest levels of expressions for the highly spiritual and highly religious group. Now the picture changes a bit when we turn to Eastern Europe, because in Poland, interestingly, both meditation and the experience of being at one seem to be experienced rather seldom, or seem to be performed rather seldom. However, the general pattern, highest expressions for the mixed group and higher expressions for meditation for the highly spiritual than for the highly religious group. Again, this cross of the lines between the yellow and the blue line do we find again in Poland. And we find it again with low expressions in general for meditation, and to a bit lower degree also for the experience of being one, again for Russia. And interestingly, also quite similar for Israel, where we have, a resembling pattern. So now, what can we conclude from these findings? I'd like to sum up. Well, the first thing is, I think, that we can conclude that the majority of people from the 21 countries we have discovered, and all major religious traditions which have been included in this selection of countries, express convergent spiritual and religious self-concepts rather than divergent ones. Maybe Israel is the only exception of this rule. The second is that in the Western world, the graphs I've shown to you in the second half of my talk, in the Western world there are striking parallels between experiences and behavior of these four ideal types of religious and spiritual self-concepts. We always had, in general, low expressions for the neither nor group, which is not surprising. We had, in general, rather high expressions for the religious group, except for meditation and to a lower degree the experience of being at one. Completely the opposite for the highly spiritual group, in general low expressions except for meditation, and all in all very, very high expressions on average for the mixed type, both religious and spiritual. So if spiritually is used as a distinctive term to distinguish it from a religious self concept, then we can conclude it is only associated with a stronger tendency to meditation. That's what these people do. However, if we take into account that the majority of people do not distinguish strongly between religion and spirituality, and that a higher percentage of people then belong to the mixed type, and that is true for all the countries in the Western world, then there is no strong difference between religiosity and spirituality at all. However, people have started using this term and calling themselves spiritual. And therefore, apart from that, in most cases, spirituality seems to be a synonym for what has previously been called religiosity, but which meaning seems to have narrowed during the last decades and has been challenged by the new concept of spirituality, which now seems to be the broader term, but to express at least the same behaviors and experiences. So my take-home message would be, spirituality seems to be the phenomenon formerly known as religiosity. And that's the end of my talk. I thank you very much for your attention.